Welcome in to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, as always, reminding you, please subscribe, rate, and review. 5 stars only, anywhere you get your podcast. As always, joined by Matt, co-host. And Matt, I'm happy to tell you, I think you'll like this. It is raining in Arizona. It's your kind of weather up here.
Hey, look at that. It's not like 100 degrees right now. That must be real nice for you guys.
It's not 100 degrees. It's 58, I think. According to my car,
it's been oddly warm in Utah. You know, like we've had some colder days, but for November, it's been pretty good.
Well, yeah, I'm excited because I'm going to be there next week. I'm going to be in Oregon and then in Utah for Thanksgiving, so we can get a live episode in or together episode while I'm up there.
Yeah.
Before though, Matt, let's start with a couple things. Here's what we're going to talk about today, folks. So, the Colin Kaepernick workout in Atlanta. I've had tons of people ask me about that. And it's just interesting to both of us. So, we're going to talk about that. Then we're going to talk about college football. We're recording this on Tuesday, so the rankings just came out. If we have extra time, we'll talk about the NBA. I kind of think we'll be able to fill most of our stuff with that, but we'll see what happens. So, Matt, I'll just ask you, what was your thought on the whole thing? We can get into the details later on, but just what was your thought on what went on Saturday?
It was weird. It felt like a publicity stunt, but it felt like everybody's publicity stunt. Does that make sense? Like, it definitely, I mean, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but this does not seem like they do, like, the NFL organizes workouts for athletes, you know? And if there was an athlete to do it for, it would be Colin Kaepernick, but this definitely, like, isn't a regular thing, like, that the NFL would go out of its way to organize this workout. But then, you know, all the stuff that Kaepernick did, like, I understand why he might not have trusted the NFL and why he wouldn't like the way that they had set up the workout. But then, like, you know, I mean, you can talk about some of these things, but invite the media and then not ask them for questions. And, like, everything was just so weird.
Yeah, it seemed disingenuous by the NFL's part and untrusting by Colin Kaepernick's part for sure. To really just everyone involved, I think, came away looking, I'd say the NFL more than Colin Kaepernick looked bad. Here's a quick breakdown of the situation. So last Tuesday, the NFL told Colin Kaepernick's representatives and all 32 teams that they were going to have a workout for Colin Kaepernick on Saturday, 2 days ago, in Atlanta, the Falcons practice facility, to kind of showcase his talent, which really, that's never been the issue. Any team who's wanted to see him could have over the last 3 years. So it's not that teams were like, oh, I don't know if he's good or not. But anyway, besides the point, Kaepernick's people were like, can we do it on Tuesday? Saturday's not enough time for us. We also, the teams are going to be traveling because they play the next day. Tuesday is the day off. Excuse me. Off in the NFL. So coaches and scouts have more time to travel if they need to see the workout. And Saturday, everybody's busy for the game before. The NFL's like, nope, it's Saturday. Won't budge. Can't move it. So they argue, but whatever. Together Saturday, they want Kaepernick to sign a waiver basically saying, like, you know, you can't sue us ever for anything. Kaepernick wasn't allowed to bring any of his own people in, his own media. The NFL was going to control everything. Kaepernick was worried that they were going to not do the whole thing or like make him look bad or whatever the situation may be. So he just said, screw it. So he went to a high school about an hour away. The NFL said all 32 teams were scheduled to come. Only reportedly 8 made it to the workout. And then I don't want to butcher the name, so I'm Googling it, but he wore a shirt that was, do you remember the name of the shirt, Matt? It's Kunta Kinte, is what the shirt said. And I didn't know what that meant.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I'm guessing you don't know what it means.
I do know what it means.
Oh, you do? Okay. Because it's a movie reference. So, and I didn't know until I Googled it. So do you want to tell the good folk what it is?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can say better because I, you know, unfortunately haven't seen the movie. It seems like it'd be a really good movie. But, Well, is it a movie or is it a series of movies? The star is LeVar Burton, and he is a slave who escapes to get his freedom. Is that the plot?
Well, he tries to escape. What I read, I haven't seen either, but he tries to escape four times to the point where his owners cut off part of his foot so he can't escape. He also, I think they give, it's like they give him a quote-unquote American name, and he refuses to go by that. So that's part of the deal as well. That's name is Kunta Kinte is where that shirt came from.
Yeah.
So, and that was just kind of him saying, I'm not going to change, so on and so forth. And I don't think he has to, you know, because he can do whatever he wants. And he is doing a lot of, you know, charity work, social justice work. And I think people saying he doesn't want to really play in the NFL if he's doing all this stuff. I think it's possible to do both. I think it's possible to want to play in the NFL and not want to, like, give in, back down, all this other thing, and stand up for what he believes in. So you can want to do both. I don't think they're mutually exclusive. So that's kind of the biggest critique I've had with that side of the argument is people saying, oh, if he really wanted to play in the NFL, he'd just suck it up. You know what I mean? I don't think he should have to do that. And it probably is going to cost him a shot at playing in the NFL, but he shouldn't have, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I mean, and the way, yeah, and I do think the way that the NFL set this up is ridiculous. Like if you had been trying to get into, well, you are trying to get into journalism school, but let's say the ESPN offered you a job and it's like, hey, we want you to come in and we want you to do this interview. But you have to come in on Tuesday. And you said, well, that's great. I'm excited, but I'm not, you know, in Bristol and I've already got something Tuesday. And they're like, nope, you have to do it Tuesday. Like that would be, that's like a weird aggressive setup. And it's a way that I think the NFL, if he rejected it, that the NFL could say, oh, well, we had this thing for him. He's the one who didn't want to come, but it was just, like, that's not the way that a workout should go. Like, they should have called him and tried to set up the time before. Then, I think he would have, I don't know if he would have trusted him, but, you know, already right off of the bat, there wasn't any trust there. So, I don't really blame him for the way that he behaved. I think that he, as he was setting out his workout, I think he could have set that up earlier so more teams would have been able to drive to the right place. But I don't know, part of me just thinks, like, the NFL's blackballing him, and just let me know when he gets a job.
Here's the thing, I accidentally muted myself. Here's the thing that a lot of people, there's two NFLs. There's NFL on Park Avenue, and there's the NFL, the 32 owners. I think the NFL on Park Avenue, it'd be better for their image if he was in the league. The problem is, Roger Goodell isn't the one who hands out jobs. It's one of the 32 owners. So you have to get one of them on board. So that's where I think the issue is. And I think other than San Francisco and Miami, he really should be able to play for any team. I don't think he can go back to San Francisco. And after wearing the, what was the name of the dictator, Cuban dictator?
Fidel Castro.
After wearing that shirt, he can't go to Miami. But other than that,
I think it'd be hard for him to play for Washington.
Just because of what he's standing up for versus, like, what their mascot is?
That their mascot is a slur. Yeah, I don't think that would work very well.
All right, so we'll say 29 teams that could play for them. And
yeah. No, I mean, I'd love to have him come be the backup for the Eagles.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good backup. I don't think it's fair for people to say, oh, he doesn't want to play. Really, it's just using it as a publicity stunt. I just don't know. Like, realistically, he's not going to play ever again. I think it's fair to say that's not like an opinion. That's not what I want or don't want. I just think the reality is it's not going to play. And when this was unfolding, what was it, 3 years ago when he was like really not, like when we let go from the Niners and everything happened after that and he didn't get signed. And in the summer, I was like, he's going to get signed by somebody. Everyone needs to calm down. He's going to get signed. Then he didn't get signed. I was like, okay, well, somebody's going to get hurt. He's going to get signed. And then he didn't. He never got signed. And I was like, okay, well, maybe he's not going to get signed ever. And my thing, as a 49ers fan, my issue with Kaepernick was a player is that he's not good enough to win the Super Bowl as a starting quarterback. And that's evidenced by having – he had the best defense in the league and the best rushing attack in the league. and they got blasted by the Ravens, and they were lucky with that power outage. They came back, and Kaepernick had three interceptions on the 5-yard line to lose them the game. And then the next year in Seattle in that NFC Championship, he threw, I believe it was three interceptions in the fourth quarter, cost the 49ers that game, including that famous one that Richard Sherman got. But if he's not your starting quarterback, if he's a backup, if let's say, well, like in New Orleans, like he's, I don't know if he's better or worse than Teddy Bridgewater, but that was a perfect situation for Teddy Bridgewater to come in. I think New Orleans for sure went undefeated with Teddy Bridgewater in there. Kaepernick, I think, is more than capable of filling that role in the NFL. And it's just with it, and Rex Ryan, ESPN host, he used to coach for the Jets and the Bills, talked about this. He's like, as a coach, I don't want all the media coming in. I don't want all that attention for my backup quarterback. And whether it's fair or not, that's just the reality that with Colin Kaepernick is going to come a lot of extra. I don't want to use the word distraction. I don't want to use the term baggage, but extra media, extra attention. Where football coaches, they're the most, they don't want any of that. They just want to focus on the week's game. They don't want they're the most military, mind control people. Obviously, military is not mind control, so I didn't mean that. But just like the most strict mind control people in sports is football coaches. And the reality is they don't want Kaepernick brought in and taking away and adding things when the players, quote unquote, should be thinking about the next game.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that that's the reason that I think coaches and GMs are going with. I don't know if I necessarily think that, you know, Colin Kaepernick being there would make it that much of a media circus like Rex Ryan said, though. I mean, I guess it would depend on the team, but I feel like most NFL teams already get a ton of pressure, and I would say 90% of them are already the biggest show in town and are already getting, you know, almost as much media coverage as they could. I think you bring Colin Kaepernick in, there's going to be 1-2 weeks where you're going to get a lot of media people, but I honestly think that people eventually are just going to kind of forget about it, you know? So I don't think, I agree that that's a reason that coaches are using, and I do agree that, you know, NFL coaches do have that personality, like you said. It's like, we want everybody, you know, only thinking about football. Like, you give the example that Myles Garrett almost didn't get drafted number one because he's has this paleontology hobby that he's interested in dinosaurs. But I just can't think that would end up being a problem, particularly if his teammates are going to support him, which I would think 98% of NFL players would support Colin Kaepernick on the team.
Yeah, I guess I would say that. I think I would say you're right. The teammates are going to support him for sure. It even might not be as big of a media circus as coaches think, but I would say to that, again, I'm not arguing one way or the other, but I would say, you know, perception is reality. And even if it's not what would actually occur, the perception that coaches have that it would cause this huge media storm for the backup quarterback, it'd be trying to get interview requests and quote unquote taking away from the team. Is what I think. That's why he's not getting signed. That perception that for the coaches is real, even if it's not reality, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Let me ask this. What do you think is the worst that Colin Kaepernick could be to get a job? I don't know if that question makes sense. What I mean is if the Colin Kaepernick had been, like, I think me and you both think that Colin Kaepernick is somewhere between the 29th, 28th, and 35th best quarterback in the NFL. Obviously, if he was as good as Aaron Rodgers, he never would have been out of the NFL in the first place. So, like, do you think if he was, I don't know, Kirk Cousins good, that he would be in the league? Or do you think that if he was pre-injury Teddy Bridgewater, he would be in the league? Or, like, Deshaun Watson, like, How much better do you think Colin Kaepernick would have to be to have a job right now?
I think if he was in the I don't know, because I honestly think NFL coaches are really not into him. But I think somewhere like the Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, like top 10 to 12 range, I think teams would put up with it more. I think that would be where it's justified. This is a legitimate guy who can win us playoff games. And people will say, well, he won the Green Bay game that year they went to the Super Bowl. He did, and he was fantastic in that game. That's one game, though, of a lot of other really big games that Kaepernick lost for the San Francisco 49ers, which is what I'm leaning on in my perception of him. And especially this is 3 years from now. What's bugging me, Matt, is that video of him throwing a 50-yard pass and everybody's saying, like, oh, it was never his talent. Well, first of all, yes, it was never his talent. Second of all, like, sophomore high school quarterbacks can throw that pass. That is not the pass that we should be judging him off of. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is literally such an easy throw. And it's not saying it's easy, like, I can make it, but it's any high school quarterback that's being recruited can make that throw easily.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that's a good point. You know what? So I was listening to Bomani Jones' podcast, The Right Time, on my way home from work, and he made the point, I haven't heard anything about how this workout went. Like, nobody's going to say if it's good. Nobody say it's bad. And, like, that one, I've only seen one throw. Like, presumably they shot more footage, so I don't know why we're only getting that one clip. I mean, that to me is almost as weird as anything else, that nobody is saying that he played good or he played
bad. Well, Matt, you came to the right place. Just guess who watched about half an hour of the workout?
Oh, it exists?
Well, I saw a live YouTube feed. So Field Yates, who works at ESPN, tweeted out a live YouTube feed. So I don't know if you can still go back and watch it, but I was like streaming it from YouTube.
Weird. Interesting. Okay, good. Well, how'd it go?
I thought he was inaccurate was the main word. First of all, I want to say I love pro days, even though I don't think they mean a lot when quarterbacks are like throwing against air, things like that. Love watching them. Can't tell a whole lot. That being said, I thought Colin Kaepernick was inaccurate. He missed on several deep throws. He connected on that 150-yard pass, but there were a couple he overshot the receiver. There was one he threw out of bounds. And what I look for more when I'm watching those quote-unquote pro day situations is where a quarterback's throwing like a bubble route, a little out route, like a 5-yard out route, like outgoing short passes. There, I think the hardest throw for a quarterback to make is like a 10 to 15 yard deep out. But the second hardest throw for a quarterback to make is those screen passes where the receiver is facing the line of scrimmage, running away from the quarterback, like in a looping motion. So ideally when he's catching the ball, he's going forward. You know, did I explain that okay? So that is the second hardest ball to throw because there's such a small window for error. If you throw it behind him, the receiver has to turn around. If you throw it in front of him, he doesn't catch it. If you don't throw it anywhere but right on his body while he's moving forward, it kind of blows the play up. And on several of those, Kaepernick was inaccurate. He led the receiver, like, missed the receiver completely, threw it too far in front of him. There was one there where the receiver caught it kind of behind him and it slowed his momentum. And honestly, that's just what it was in San Francisco. It was nothing new, which not surprising. And he made some good throws as well. But in those settings, when it's on air against nobody, and Colin Kaepernick brought his own receivers, that was one issue as well that he had with the NFL, is that the NFL is going to have him work out receivers he's never worked with before. So in his own workout, Kaepernick had the guys he's been working out with, which is important in those settings to get the timing and everything right. That being said, that you need to be perfect on those. And like one or two incompletions out of like 70 throws that aren't drops is a bad mark, because you really should be perfect on those, and Kaepernick wasn't.
Yeah. Now, my next question was going to be, are we going to cut him any slack? Because obviously he's been practicing, but he hasn't been in a game for 3 years. And I'm sure that being in a game helps you to, you know, tighten some of those things up, be a little bit sharper. But you also said that was the same thing that you saw in San Francisco. So I'm going to assume, no, we're not cutting him any slack for those.
I'm not cutting him any slack. More importantly, I don't think general managers are going to cut him any slack for it. You know, they're just, at this point, most, I'd say most NFL owners are looking for reasons not to sign him. more than reasons to sign him. And the fact that he's been away from the game for 3 years, where even if a guy, another guy is worse, they can say, oh, he played last year, he's been in the league, versus someone who is quote unquote more talented, but hasn't played for 3 years.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. Well, it'll be interesting. It'd be nice to see him on a team, just, you know, partly just because I want to see what happens. But it does. I'd like to see him on a team, I think.
At this point, I would too. You know, I'd like to see what he can do. And I do think, again, he's better than at least at the minimum some of the backup quarterbacks in the league. I think some Chicago Bears fans would argue he's better than their starting quarterback. But
right. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I would probably say, you obviously know more than me, but I would say that he's probably better than most of the backups, although obviously you have been around him more, but that might just make you more biased.
Yeah, I do think he's better than most of the backups. And I mean, depending on how you feel about Nick Foles and Colin Kaepernick, I think that's the range Kaepernick was in 3 years ago. It's hard for me to say what I think he's in now, just because the only football I've seen him play is that 30 minutes of that YouTube live stream, you know?
Right. You know, it would be interesting to see where he is now. Also, if, you know, that does extend, you know, the amount of years that he could play, just because he's not taking those hits, particularly being, you know, you could tell me that this, I don't know if we'd call him a running quarterback, certainly not like Lamar Jackson, but he did seem to, you know, want to take some more of those risks on runs. So I think not taking those hits probably does give him a few more years than he might have had otherwise, if someone decides.
Well, Matt, fun fact, Lamar Jackson's current offensive coordinator is a guy who was offensive coordinator in San Francisco. And
interesting. Probably, I would assume that's a Harbaugh.
Yes.
Harbaugh connection.
It's Roman something. Greg Roman is his name. So he's the same offensive coordinator in San Francisco with Colin Kaepernick as Lamar Jackson is. And side note, Lamar Jackson is the best player in the world right now. But with Kaepernick, in that Green Bay game, Matt, that I mentioned to you, I think he set the playoff record for most rushing yards by a quarterback. He ran all over Green Bay, and that's what won the 49ers the game. But in those other games, in the Super Bowl, in the 2013 NFC Championship, where he had to make throws, he just couldn't make the throws. And he is a great quarterback, but in the last 2 minutes, he's just more often than not gotten the job done when he's needed to make throws. And if I wasn't a 49ers fan, I probably wouldn't feel that way, because a little bias, he cost us a lot of games. But I also watched him more than a lot of people did when he was in the NFL. So
right.
That's our 2 cents on Colin Kaepernick, Matt. Do you have any other closing thoughts? Final answer, I don't think he will ever play again in the NFL through no detriment of his own, is my standing.
Yes. That's where I am. He should get a job. I feel like he's not going to.
Now, let's talk about college football, because we're on the same page with that. The college football playoff ranking just came out. Let's go through some highlights of it, and then we can talk about what's going to happen. So, number one, LSU, 2 Ohio State, 3 Clemson, 4 Georgia, 5 Alabama, 6 Utah, 7 Penn State. So, no change, excuse me, 6 Oregon, 7 Utah. So, no change in the top 7. And then number 8 is Penn State, 9 Oklahoma State at 9, Minnesota dropped to 10, Florida's 11, Wisconsin went up to 12, and really the significant one is Baylor's at 14 and Auburn's at 15. Those are the significant ones in terms of the playoff. And here's my initial take. I didn't think anything would change in the top 4. Alabama stayed at 5, which I thought they would have. I was worried that they might drop because of the Tua injuries, so the committee would just factor in that Tua is injured, so they're going to be worse. So I'm glad Alabama stayed at 5, because Utah and Oregon and Oklahoma, and, you know, we can say Penn State, Minnesota, whatever, but it's really Oregon, Utah, Oklahoma, and Baylor are the teams that have a chance to pass Alabama. They're going to do fine. They're going to have that opportunity. So I don't mind Alabama being at 5 still, even though some people, I think, are freaking out about it.
Right. Yeah. No, I think I don't. I've never liked moving somebody down. In like a regular, like a power ranking type system, I think that's fine to move someone down because of injury. I think that Alabama has to show us that they're worse. And you could argue that they already have showed us that they're worse, but they didn't lose that game without Tua. I don't think they're going to lose, without Tua, but I also don't. Well, actually, when they play Auburn, that's going to be interesting. It would be very interesting to see what happens. If Alabama were to end up beating Auburn and then still not go.
Yeah, well, because that's Alabama has two games left, one against Western Carolina and one against Auburn in the Iron Bowl. And Auburn is a top 15 team. So here's the argument with because this especially ties into Oregon. If Auburn beats Alabama, that's what Oregon wants because they just want less competition. But if Alabama beats Auburn, Alabama fans can say that Oregon's one loss was against the fifth best team in the SEC and a team that Alabama beat with their backup quarterback, which Pac-12 fans hate that argument. But I can't argue with, even if it's, you know, flawed and not the whole picture, that statement is correct. So that's my thing. And then I hear people say that game was so long ago. It's still in the season. It still counts. You know, like, it's not a preseason game. It's on the record that Oregon lost to Auburn is a fact. Now, I don't think Alabama will get in, but what could – they could, definitely. They definitely could get in for sure. But and that would be – I think they're more likely to get in if Oregon beats Utah than if Utah beats Oregon for that reason that they have the Auburn comparison.
Right. And I think it's a little bit weird. Like, do you I almost feel like it's easier to look at Utah and say, like, oh, they had a fluke game against USC and then punish Oregon because they lost to Auburn, which is actually a much better loss than the one that Utah has.
I would agree. And I think with Utah's loss, they were missing their running back, Zach Moss, for most of the game. And Utah's last, I think it's 12 games when they've had both Tyler Huntley, the quarterback, and Zach Moss, the running back. They're undefeated. So Utah can say, we missed our running back. But then Oregon can look at that game against Auburn and say, I think it was like their top three receivers or like three of their top four were all out of that game. Alabama can then say, you know, Tua was hurt in the LSU game. So I for the most part, love that the committee does take injuries into effect. But I think they're kind of wiping each other out with the Oregon-Utah-Alabama situation.
Right. Yeah, I know that everybody's got people who hurt. That's just, you know, how it goes with football. And I think part of being a good football team is being deep. That's why Clemson has been so good, is just because they always have like 13 NFL caliber. Yeah, and their
Clemson
linemen
is killing people. So what is interesting as well between Ohio State and LSU is the reason getting the number one seed is important is because the number one seed's going to get a play. Probably Utah or Oregon is what I think will end up happening. And the number two seed is going to have to play Clemson if things stand as they are. So that, right, it was, you know, kind of something to watch. Now, here's a scenario, Matt, that I think would piss a lot of people off, but is very realistic, and I don't think a lot of people are talking about it. So Georgia is something in two. If they win out, beat Georgia Tech, and they might be on bye this week, but if they win out, go to the SEC championship and beat LSU, they'd be an 11-2 champion, SEC champion. They're already number four. I think they'd for sure be in if they beat LSU. But LSU would be 12-1 and or 11, yeah, 11-1 or 12. One of those, it's something in one, not a conference champion. But they're the number one seed. I think LSU would get in. So I think if Georgia beats LSU, it'd be Georgia, LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson in some order.
Yeah, I think that's probably correct. Just to clarify, who would Georgia's second loss be?
Well, they lost to South Carolina.
But they've only got one loss.
And then they lost to – who else did they lose to? Would they only have one? Do they only have –
according to,
oh, maybe you're right. Yeah, for some reason, I thought they had two. Maybe I'm just like assuming that LSU was going to beat them, so schedule that second loss in. But, yeah, well, then not even a question Georgia would be in.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, if Georgia wins the SEC, they have to get in. And that, you know, I think barring something very, very odd, it's going to be Georgia-LSU. Yeah, Georgia, I think, has to win, especially if whoever wins Oregon-Utah only has one loss. I think Georgia does have to win. But, yeah, oh, yeah, it would be almost impossible.
So that's why I think that's just something to watch. Now, let's talk. I think LSU will beat Georgia, but also Georgia by far is the best defense LSU is going to face. And LSU's defense is pretty bad. Ole Miss had like 400 rushing yards, Matt, on Saturday. And LSU still won by 20-plus points. But Georgia can run a lot better than Ole Miss can, even though Ole Miss has a better rushing, a more explosive rushing game with Rich Rodriguez as their offensive coordinator. Georgia's built to run the ball like that. So they might not get 400 yards, but they're going to be a lot more efficient doing it. So the SEC championship is probably the one I'm most excited for. But let's talk Big 12, because Oklahoma came back from a 25 points down. It was 28-3 at one point. Beat Baylor 34-31, shut out Baylor in the second half. If Oklahoma wins out, they'll beat Baylor again in the Big 12 championship. And I think Oklahoma fans are going to have a lot of arguing, saying they're more deserved than, let's just for simplicity say, the Pac-12 champion, Utah or Oregon. And they're sitting down there at 9, Matt. They're behind Penn State. They're behind both the Pac-12 teams. They're behind Alabama. What are your thoughts on if Oklahoma can get in? Do you think if they win out, they'll have any sort of a shot?
Yeah, if they win out, they're definitely going to have a hard shot. And, you know, this is why, you know, I really don't want to talk about this again, but that's just why four teams isn't enough, because you can't tell me that, you know, LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, and then let's say Oregon and then Oklahoma, that's six teams. You can't tell me that two of those don't deserve to be in there and don't have good arguments. They're all going to have really, really good arguments, and there's just not really a way to say that Utah or Oklahoma or Oregon or Oklahoma deserves to be in more if they both only lost one time. I mean, there's just not really a good way to settle that other than having them play.
Yeah, no, well, there's the thing. This is one of those years where, honestly, you could argue that three teams deserve to get in, Clemson, Ohio State, and LSU. You could also argue that, like, 11 teams deserve a shot. And some years, like the BCS, hypothetically, like in a vacuum, it's a good system because, for example, the Texas-USC year, that year there were two clear-cut top two teams, and we didn't want to see anything else but that too. The problem is really never like that. That was like the only time the BCS worked out. So the issue with college football is it's never going to be the right amount of teams. I think sometimes there's going to be more. Like 2014, I think six teams had a shot to get in, and it should have been TCU, but Baylor and TCU got left out. Ohio State got put in, eventually won the national championship. I will say that's the only time I think the committee screwed up in not putting TCU in instead of Ohio State. Period. Next sentence. Like, this is one of those years where I would totally be fine if it was just Clemson, Ohio State, and LSU, somehow like a three-way round robin. I think those have been the three best teams. But also, I think I'd love to see Georgia in there. I'd love to see Utah or Oregon. I'd love to see Oklahoma. I'd love to see Jalen Hurts get another shot at Alabama somehow. I'd love to see, LSU play Ohio State. There's so many games that I want to see. And I will say this, Matt, to your point, teams are scheduling out like there's going to be eight teams in the playoff. Like Georgia one year has like Ohio State, Clemson, and Georgia Tech as their non-conference schedule. That's three Power Five teams. They're scheduled like Utah and Florida are scheduled series. Florida's trying to schedule series, or they did schedule one with Colorado as well. Teams are scheduling out more and more games against other Power Five opponents. So it looks like that could happen, but it's not going to be for a while, the eight teams. But I do think that's the direction we're going.
Right. Okay, now let me give you one more that I just saw that I think is going to be really interesting. What happens if Minnesota beats Ohio State?
So Minnesota beats Wisconsin and then beats Ohio State in the Big Ten championship? Minnesota?
Yeah, they have to get in.
Oh, right? Yeah, I think Minnesota would be in for sure, and I think Ohio State would be out. They don't get the LSU effect where I think they're no matter what. I think Ohio State would be out and going to the Rose Bowl at that point.
Right. So then what happens is Minnesota, because Minnesota would have to be at least 8 by that point, right?
Well, Ohio State, hypothetically, yeah, so they'd beat Wisconsin. Ohio State is going to beat Penn State. So Minnesota will at least jump up to 8. If you beat Ohio State, you're going to jump up a lot. So you beat Wisconsin, they could jump Oklahoma. They play Oklahoma State, which is 23rd right now in the rankings, and then they play Baylor. So they have some top 25 teams that they can beat, but no win would equate Ohio State. I think at that point, win over Ohio State would be better than the win over Alabama. Plus, Minnesota would have the Penn State win. So they would have the two best wins out of anybody in the country that anybody in the country can even have, except for LSU if they beat Georgia and Alabama.
Right. Yes. Now I don't think that's gonna happen. I just saw them all the way down at 11th, and like they have as clear as any of the one loss teams do.
Here's something that could happen. Wisconsin beats Minnesota and they beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. So they avenge their one loss plus the weird loss to Illinois. That's a team that probably isn't gonna get in. But that, if you ask me who's the two-loss team that has the best shot, it'd be Wisconsin, I think, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that's another team that you look at them and you compare them to, like, an Oklahoma, one-loss Oklahoma or Utah. That's a resume, particularly because Ohio State's so good. That's a resume.
Well, let me ask you this, Matt. Let me ask you
in there as well.
Who you want to see in and who you think will get in.
I think it's going to be LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and I want to say the winner of the Pac-12 championship. I think the committee likes Oklahoma. I think the committee would like to put Oklahoma in. I think people around the country like to see Oklahoma, and I know that they wouldn't say that they think about that, but you know, we've, you know, been doing this playoff for however many years, and I feel like we've had like 6 teams in it. So I would say because they're ranked higher now, I'm going to say Oklahoma, but I would rather see one of the Pac-12.
Yeah, I think people aren't talking enough about Oklahoma and the chance they have, because they have one loss. I think they, even though they didn't move, or they moved up one spot, but even though they just moved up one spot, their best wins of the season have come with shutting out Baylor in the second half and then shutting down Texas with Oklahoma's defense. So they've had some close games because the defense has been kind of leaky, but they've also won games because of their defense, which they haven't in the past. So I think Oklahoma is a better shot than most people are thinking. I want Ohio State to be the one seed because I want to see LSU versus Clemson. I want to see LSU play Ohio State at some point. So I think the teams that are going to get in are LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and I'm going to say Utah. Right. I think Utah's going to get in. I try not to pick Utah just, you know, because I'm from there. But I sincerely think Tyler Huntley, Matt, his stat line against UCLA. Are you ready for it? Okay, so he was 14 of 18. So, not fantastic. He only threw 18 passes. He had 335 yards on 14 passes. 2 touchdowns and then a rushing touchdown as well.
Simpkins in motion. Tyler rolls.
That is from that game. But that's unbelievable. 335 passing yards on 18 attempts. Not even the completions, just 18 attempts. So I think, and Oregon's receiver, Micah Pittman, is going to be out. So I think Utah beats Oregon. I'd love to see, I want to see Ohio State play LSU because Joe Burrow transferred from there. I'd love to see Ohio State play Utah because Urban Meyer coached at both schools. I think Ohio State would win that game. I think Ohio State would win any team. I think they're the best team in the country. So I'm big Ohio State to win, and I'd be happy with, honestly, any matchup. I think Clemson might beat LSU because LSU's defense, I'm nervous about them, partly because of the game against Ole Miss, but yards per play, they're 53rd in the country. Ohio State's number one and Clemson's number two. If you adjust it to your opponent, Ohio State's still number one, Clemson's number three, and LSU jumps up to 29th. So better than just the flat-out yards per play on defense, but still not great. So I'm worried about them against Trevor Lawrence because Clemson's been clicking. They've scored 50 points in three or four straight games in a row, beating people by 40-plus points. I think after the North Carolina game, people just kind of stopped paying attention. And Clemson's been on a tear ever since then.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of good teams. I'm more interested in the playoff this year than I have been in a long time, just because, you know, I think LSU brings something in a little bit different. You know, Ohio State, I think, is really good. They're going to be fun to watch. And, you know, them, you know, it's just been a two-team
race. Yeah, I'm excited for sure. It's going to be fun to watch. So
it's very, very interesting.
Let's, we're wrapping up, Matt. Is there any closing thoughts you want to make before we wrap up?
No.
BYU head coach Kalani Sataki,
who got
happy about it as BYU alumni.
That's all I have.
Yeah, so that's the episode. Next week might be a bit later in the week just because, again, I'll be in Oregon visiting the University of Oregon, and then I'll be back in Utah for Thanksgiving. So we're going to do it when I get back to Utah just so we can do it together. Appreciate everybody listening. Let us know what you think. We got to talk about Lamar Jackson, so we'll probably do that next time because he's been the best player in the NFL. And the most improved, honestly, we could have just as long a conversation about Lamar Jackson as we did on Colin Kaepernick. So probably do that hopefully next week, but sometime in the near future, we're going to talk about that. Remember, please subscribe, rate, review. 5 stars only helps us out, helps you out, because that way you get the podcast right away when it drops, especially if we're on kind of a weird scheduling system. Appreciate everybody's listening for the support, and we'll talk to you guys next week.